Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, the political shift in the Sunshine State, Florida, an election bellwether and a crucial state for the president to secure a second term. But as some of his strongest supporters in the region defect to the Biden camp, what can the Trump campaign do now to catch up in the polls? Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
A thousand golf carts will be participating with probably 1,500 people.
77-year-old Stan Swice not only resembles President Trump, he's one of his biggest supporters.
People like to take pictures. They like to interact with the president.
Stan is also one of the founders of the Villagers for Trump Club here at the Villages Retirement Community outside Orlando, Florida. With 130,000 residents roving on 60,000 golf carts, it's the largest senior community in the nation.
Trump is gonna win!
He and club members showing off their strength in numbers at a now iconic Trump golf cart parade, recruiting even more votes from their neighbors.
I helped run the election for President Trump, Governor DeSantis, and Senator Scott. We carried all the elections, according to all three of them. They all admit if it wasn't for Central Florida, and especially the Villages, they would have lost.
The Villages, predominantly white and Republican, became a base of support that helped propel the president to victory in Florida 4 years ago. 68% of the residents here voted for Trump. The community has also been a source of controversy. A man who appeared to be a Trump supporter shouted white power during a parade earlier this year.
White power!
The president retweeted, then later deleted that video. President Trump won Florida in 2016, but with his approval ratings now underwater and a razor-thin edge in the polls, this time around his adopted home state could be up for grabs. In the last few weeks alone, every vote seemingly courted and chased by both candidates.
It's great to be with you and back at the Villages. I like the Villages.
Stan and his club rented 18 billboards scattered across the state, up to $5,000 a pop, hyping what he says are President Trump's accomplishments. He took us to this one near his home.
What message do you want people who are driving by this area to take away?
To look and see what it says. I think that he has done what he said he was going to do or improved it greatly as far as the border wall, rebuilding the military.
What's not advertised, President Trump's handling of the pandemic.
Do you think wearing a mask is important to fighting the spread of the virus?
No. Carolyn and I do wear them when we go grocery shopping, but I see these people, they walk into a restaurant with a mask on, they take it off, they eat and drink, and they put it back on and walk out. I just don't see the difference.
The president has said to not live in fear, to not be afraid when it comes to the pandemic. Are you afraid of catching COVID?
No. We have done nothing different since March. We live the same life that we have. I play golf 3 times a week. You know, that's the way I'm going to live. I'm 77 years old. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to live. And if God wants me to die of the virus, then I guess that's the way I'm going to die. I'm not fearful of it, and I know my wife Carol is not. We're even thinking of going on a cruise in November.
I'm afraid of catching the coronavirus, but I'm also afraid that if I catch it, that I may give it to others without me knowing.
60-year-old villager Sarah Branscombe is concerned about the virus.
How would you rate the president's handling of the pandemic?
I'm not pleased. I'm very concerned with not having the mask. It's okay not to wear a mask, and you'll see it around here. I think we should have closed sooner, been informed faster, social distancing. Dr. Fauci is one of my heroes, and I think we should have listened to him more.
Sarah, like Stan, is also politically active and dresses the part, too.
So when I come here weekly, I don't necessarily buy stuff. Sometimes I just come and walk around with my shirt and just making a statement
that the Biden fans are here.
6 days a week, this former teacher cheerfully volunteers her time to the Democratic Party.
Good job!
She flags traffic, calls potential voters.
I hope we can count on your vote for Biden for president and the other Democrats on the ballot.
Hi, ladies.
Even bake snacks for other volunteers.
I got you some brownies. No nuts.
Why are you supporting Joe Biden?
I would say he's a mensch. The mensch describes somebody with integrity, somebody who is truthful, He gives me hope. I believe that he has plans for things that we need plans for.
The president did well with seniors last election. He's struggling this time around. Why do you think that is?
One is the virus. When I speak to my friends who are now the Republicans for Biden, they're not seeing what they felt they were voting for.
67-year-old villager Stephen Starich voted for President Trump in 2016.
Who will you be voting for?
Vote's already done.
Vote's already done?
I did the mail.
And who did you cast your ballot for?
Joe Biden.
Why?
One of the reasons is, you know, I atone for my mistakes. You know, I don't have a problem admitting when I made a mistake, and I did. Second thing is, somebody's got to bring this country back together. His fixation is only on himself. I've never heard a guy use the word I so much in my life.
Stephen, a former UPS executive, is a lifetime Republican.
How would you rate the president's handling of the virus?
I couldn't imagine it being worse. From embracing science, having a nationwide plan, having testing, having tracing, all those things we should be able to do, and doing nothing but politicizing the thing, and then, you know, demonizing Democratic governors as a result of it. I mean, he outsourced his responsibility to 50 governors and said, have at it. And we ended up with 50 different plans. How did that work out?
How much is your vote, a vote for the Biden-Harris ticket, a vote for them, versus a vote against President Trump?
Without a doubt, it's both. But, you know, I'd still believe Joe Biden in any situation that is an honorable man. He's not lying to me.
We know that older voters are more likely to turn out. We also know that they've leaned Republican. Why are they shifting now towards Joe Biden?
Because so many of them are dying of COVID. Folks 65 and older have a much greater chance of dying of COVID than the rest of the population. And as those folks face that reality, that they're not gonna see their grandkids at Thanksgiving or Christmas, they're not gonna go travel on that trip they saved their whole life to go on because of COVID. We're in a situation where it is increasingly difficult for seniors to see a pathway out of it.
Rick Wilson is a co-founder of the Lincoln Project, a group of Republican political strategists trying to unseat the president.
If Biden wins Florida and the map holds it as it is right now, this race is a blowout. It's gonna be very, very tough for this president to hold on to power unless he takes the Sunshine State.
In the last six election cycles, no candidate has won the White House without winning Florida. With 29 electoral votes, it's known for its nail-biting contests, most famously Bush versus Gore.
How confident are you that the president is going to win Florida?
Oh, I think he'll win Florida. Here's why. Number one, it's the economy. He actually, if you look at what the economy was before COVID, it was doing really well. Number two is, I think the president's done a good job of defending law enforcement and supporting law enforcement.
Republican Rick Scott was governor for 8 years and is now the state's junior senator.
I think it's probably true for every state that this late in your campaign, it's all about getting your votes out. Everybody's sort of defined by now. It's really you work every day to get the vote out.
As soon as President Trump recovered from COVID-19, his first stop, the Sunshine State.
Florida is a very challenging state. It's a state full of very different microcosms. The panhandle is as different from Broward County as Alabama is from New York City. And you've got a significant percentage of Latinos, and it's not just Cuban Americans these days. It's Venezuelan Americans, it's Nicaraguan Americans, it's Colombian Americans, it's Puerto Ricans.
Both campaigns are fighting for the Latino vote, which makes up 17% of the total number of registered voters in Florida.
It's not one monolithic group. It's not one blob. There's no groupthink amongst Latinos in Florida or anywhere else for that matter.
Back at the Villages, Stan, his wife Carol, and Trump Club members head out to a rally for President Trump. And following some safety measures, they are set.
Time to go in. We're just going to follow the crowd.
As the crowds arrive, the green fills up with rows upon rows of Trump golf carts. Yet in this swing state, no opportunity to reach out to potential voters goes unmissed. Finally, the president arrives and takes the stage.
You're always fighting for me, and I'm always fighting for you, and I appreciate it.
He always has a great crowd, and everybody's enthusiastic, and there was some entrance with the helicopters. It was so exciting.
We met back up with Stan and Carol as they exit.
I don't believe he got any additional voters because I honestly believe everybody there was going to vote for him.
But so. He did ask that everybody go home, call your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, and get them out to vote.
As enthusiastic as some Village residents are after the rally, it has others concerned.
Usually I wear one mask, but today I'm wearing two, because when President Trump came here and had that big crowd that didn't wear masks or social distance, I feel like the risk is much higher for me.
President Trump won the Villages back in 2016. Is the goal just to peel away enough support here that it could make a difference in a really tight election?
Yes, exactly it. We have a lot of Republicans for Biden that joined us and a lot of independent for Bidens, and that's what we need to make those numbers voting for him a lot less than they were last time.
Stephen will make it one fewer. His decision partly rooted in the legacy he wants to leave for his grandchildren.
I think about how they're going to judge this somewhere down the road when they know what happened and the history books are written. You know, what did you do, Grandpa, during the 2020 election? You said you were a lifetime Republican. Did you just do that because that's what you've always done? Or did you do what you thought was right? I want to be able to tell them I did what I thought was right.
For Nightline, I'm Rachel Scott in the Villages, Florida.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to the race to the finish line. Donald Trump and Joe Biden firing up final strategies to win over voters. So which battleground states are likely to flip in their favor? A new ABC News Washington Post poll showing Biden with a 17-point lead in Wisconsin, and in Michigan, Biden ahead by 7 points. The latest Quinnipiac poll showing Biden holding a 10-point national lead over Trump. To break it all down, earlier this evening, I spoke with Sarah Fagan, CEO of Deep Root Analytics, and Yvette Simpson, CEO of Democracy for America. Sarah and Yvette, thanks so much for joining us. Sarah, first question to you. The president is lagging in the polls since his win 4 years ago. A lot of people are wary about poll numbers. Trump says they're fake. Do you think he could pull off a win despite being behind? And how much does Biden's high favorability play a role here?
Well, I do think that people are frustrated with polling in large part because of the 2016 election. Although Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in 2016, and the national polls called that, the state polls were off for a whole variety of reasons, which I think are still problems today. I think some of them are more accurate than others, but there's a lot more state polling in this election, in part because of what happened in 2016. So I think you look at an average, and that's how you determine really where the race stands. In terms of the vice president's favorability, this is a very different election than 2016. Hillary Clinton was underwater. She and Donald Trump were both unfavorable on election day by a majority of voters. That's not the case with Joe Biden right now. He's got about a 50% favorable rating. challengers typically get a vote share around their favorable ratings.
That several traditionally red states like Georgia and Arizona are now possibly trending blue. How have demographic changes in these states since 2016 impacted the political landscape?
What we've seen is a lot of energy, especially among black and brown voters in Georgia. In Arizona, we've been activating black and brown voters for months who are energized to come out and support Vice President Biden. And so I think the big difference we're seeing is we're seeing a rise in the number of voters of color, particularly women of color, in states that we traditionally don't win. Folks are worried about Donald Trump getting another 4 years. And that has really caused people not only to be motivated themselves, but we're seeing people go out and bring their whole families, bring their communities.
And Sarah, to that point, the fact that Biden has made these traditionally red states competitive means Trump has to campaign more. But does he have the bandwidth and the money? And what's the victory strategy here for him?
You know, I think, look, he has the money. Presidential races, I don't think are, money is not the most important factor. They're so driven by earned media. And look, the demographics of the country are changing, but they're changing in both directions. You know, you see states like Georgia and Arizona, they're particularly around the large cities, they're younger, they're more affluent, they're less white. They're a demographic that today is more aligned with the Democratic Party. The same, though, is true in the industrial Midwest. They're older. They're whiter. They tend to have less education. They tend to be more base Trump voters. And so, you know, there's a very much a scenario where we could be surprised on election night where a Georgia or an Arizona, which have been historically more Republican, go Democratic, whereas Michigan or Pennsylvania, where the vice president is probably up 6 to 8 points in both of those states today, actually goes for Trump.
And Sarah, so I'll follow up to that. What's a must-win state for the president, you think?
Well, I think all roads for President Trump lead through Florida. There's really no path for Trump to be elected president if he does not win Florida. If he does win Florida, he still has a more narrow path than the vice president, but that is a important starting point.
Yvette, do you agree with that math? And for you, does it come down to Florida, or are there some other states you're going to be watching closely next Tuesday?
Florida matters. Florida matters, Byron. And I want to say that the advantage right now for Florida is us. There's a 43% increase in women of color voters this cycle over 2016, 330,000 more women of color voters voting this election, voting early. And those are Democratic-leaning voters where we actually think Florida is in play.
So they've added over 100,000 more voters to the rolls, which typically is indicative of a better ground game.
Trump has been making lots of campaign stops in these battleground states, Biden as well. Ladies, we're 6 days out. What can both men do at this point to get out the vote, get out their base and more?
Right or wrong, one of the decisions the Trump campaign made in the early days of the COVID pandemic is they weren't shutting down their campaign. They've been out doing events. They've had a ground game. The Biden campaign has only recently started, you know, putting people on the ground in these states. And I think in a close election, that can have an impact. And Trump, I think, has the advantage overall.
I will say for Biden, one of the things that's been great is him showing up in places where you don't expect him. I think him going to places like Georgia, where he needs to show strength, where we can actually win, in Iowa, where we need to win a Senate seat. And so I think that's going to pay off very well for us in the days leading up to and certainly on Election Day.
Yvette, Sarah, thank you as always. Good
yes.
to see you.
Thank you, Byron.
And we'll be right back with a final note. And a reminder, for information on how to cast your ballot, check out the How to Vote page on 538.com. That's Nightline for this evening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.